Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the WIC's Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIC's wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
It is a discovery thought lost to war and time. Hidden for decades, buried deep in German soil, are the plans for a bomber aircraft. A flying machine with roots in a light transport plane of a curious design. It is a design with ties to the earliest aircraft, a concept that emphasizes stability, an aircraft that, before long, vanishes into history. But German engineers have ideas for its use and twist it into a weapon of war. A platform with which they hope to bomb their enemies into submission and resurrect the German Empire to its former glory. And they are not alone in pursuing these backwards canard planes for deadly purposes. As war begins and aircraft production ramps up, England too looks to tail first designs with which to wage war. Other nations are not far behind in pursuit of a tail first plane that can meet their needs. Journey through the history of these unusual aircraft. Canards of War.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Live from the land of the free. Because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. I got to start it off like Ryan usually does. It's Matt here filling in for Ryan, and Zane is along for the ride as well. Welcome to WIC's Warbird Weekly Live. Zane, glad you're here, buddy.
And I'm here with wings on.
Yeah, it'd be a long night without you, but... Yeah, Ryan, our good buddy Ryan is very busy tonight. He's fast at work there in the WIC's tower there in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, where he is working and will be burning the midnight oil. Not unable to join us tonight. So Zane, we get to have all this fun by ourselves tonight. And
it's all right.
Just glad
you're
here.
He's got to pay the bills. So here we are.
Absolutely. Well, listen, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. The number to dial 478-787-4768 is the number to call. Get you right on the program tonight. Of course, talking Warbirds, talking all things related to WIC's, and that is the Warbird Information Exchange. And just a lot going on there this week. Zane, you and I were talking before the show, and if you noticed the few seconds of silence, it's because the conversation was very engrossing and in-depth and all those good adjectives that, I mean, we just weren't paying attention. But, a lot going on WIC's this weekend. And especially throughout the week, Zane, I'll let you fill in the picture.
There's always a lot going on WIC's, that's for sure. And I guess there's some little bit of talk about Reno last week. It was a successful week, except for one little incident with the Thunder Mustang, but that pilot walked away. And from that incident, and the winds apparently got to him on Sunday. So then that's when they canceled the gold race, which quite a disappointment. They had quite a lineup. I think at least top three or four racers running for that. Galloping Ghost had raced his way into the gold, and I was sure hoping to see how that, or sure wanting to see how that actually worked out there.
Right.
But better luck next year with those guys, and it's better to be safe than to tear up some airplanes and some people, for sure.
Well, you know, a lot of folks, we had a couple of emails that I mentioned this morning, about guys thinking that they should run the race on Wednesday and Thursday into the weekend. Come on, guys. I mean, you know, in the grand, as I said this morning, in the grand importance of things, scale of importance, safety far trumps any cup race. I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean it's not that important when you put it in comparison to safety. I think you're absolutely right, Zane. And those guys made a good call. I mean, without a doubt, a great call.
And Reno is like we talked about. Reno was last week. We talked about Reno's run with a volunteer organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
All those guys out there on the pylons, right, and everybody running the show is there as a volunteer. You know, it's not like NASCAR where everybody's got a big paycheck and they can run on Monday if it rains out.
Right.
You know, and that was my question. I asked, you know, Brad Pilgrim posted that they had postpone or cancel the gold, and I was like, oh, well, they run on Monday, you know, and apparently they don't. They just don't have the volunteer base. Those guys got to go back to work and go back to the real life, you know, after that. So, but I agree, the safety is foremost in the minds there.
Well, and I think they made a smart call. You know, a lot of folks give the Reno guys a rough start anyway, and I think it was great that they made the call and said, look, we're not going to do it. So, you know, hey, that's just the way it goes. And I, you know, we're all sad not to see the race, but hey, maybe next year we can be there. That would be really cool, and hopefully
that would be. That's on my one of those on my list.
On the bucket list, yeah. On the bucket
list. There you go. Yeah, to see those guys run, you know, that would be something else. You know, congratulations to Stephen Hinton with an asterisk, I guess. But declared the winner, you know, on time and on speed, and he was the fastest guy all week. So, you know, what do you do with that? So,
yeah, you give him a trophy that says the winner right there on it. You know what? It couldn't go to a better guy. Really couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Great young man. Really
nice guy.
You know, one thing that I was looking at some photographs on Wix the other day. You know, everybody looks at the front page a lot of times, and I'd kind of like to go back. I just love the thread with Connie Edwards stuff. Isn't that
the old black and white pictures?
Isn't that just great? I mean, with all of his, you know, stuff out there, I just love looking at all that stuff.
Oh, you're talking about this out at the ranch.
Yeah, right? Out at the ranch. Absolutely, out at the ranch.
It's just, you know, it's one of those legends, you know, that you hear or you see. I remember reading in the Warbird directory back when I found one of those at a bookstore 10, 15 years ago, and looking at all the Messerschmitt pages, and there was Wilson C. Edwards, Big Spring, Texas, on a bunch of that stuff, and you go, whoa, what has this guy got out there, I mean, he was always a big fixture at Breckenridge, you know, and around for us Texas guys, he's kind of one of those gods of the CAF, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would love to go out there and do a story on his place and what he's help preserve in the Warbird community. I mean, you know, a lot of folks don't even know about him, and he's out in the middle. You know, Big Springs, kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's closer. It's closer to somewhere, but it's still kind of in the middle of nowhere. I love it when you go out to West Texas, and I've lived out there just a little bit, but it's always a lot of fun. Where you know, people say, "Oh, I'm out in the middle of nowhere," and everybody goes, "Oh yeah, I know where that is." You know,
exactly.
At least you're somewhere. But it would be a lot of fun to go out there and see all of his stuff. The photographs just give you enough. And, of course, they were taken by the late, great Gary Austin. It gives you kind of just a perspective as to what it might be like to stroll through some of those hangars and say, goodness, look at this. You know, I mean, just look at this. And, you know, it was taken by arguably one of the greatest restoration guys that we've had in a long time, and Gary knew what to look for, you know. So,
he drooled over that place.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Spitfire tucked back in the corner there, and then the two seat Bouchon, and just so much great stuff out there. You know, it's one of the last great kind of untouched collections, if you will. Cool stuff.
It's sort of like a Walter Soplata kind of place, but everything's inside pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been taking care of it, you know.
One of those field of dreams. We were talking about it this weekend, and I mentioned to some buddies, I was like, you know, there's this ranch in Texas, and you know, where there's Mustang engines and just new engines is zero time, just sitting in crates, you know, and they kind of looked at me funny. I said, oh, I'm not kidding you. So really, there really is such a place, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pappy Bowie.
Well, and he was such a character. He, you know, he would bring his, Connie Edwards would bring his albatross to Breckenridge or his PBY. And he'd show up on Saturday with an airplane and then go home and then come up with something else on Sunday, you know, or have his buddies fly a bunch of stuff in. Yeah. And I remember being out there one time he flew the albatross out there and he took off and I didn't ever think he was going to gain any altitude. I mean, he just levitated off the ground with the albatross, sucked the gear out from under it, and just stayed on the ground and just went out across the pastures. It looked like it, you know, at 10 feet off the ground for the longest time with that airplane. And then he came back around and passed and did a missed approach at the airfield. It wasn't air show day. Right, it was on Saturday when he did that, you know. And, I mean, a consummate pilot, you know, and... you know, we were talking about him, I guess here, talking about him at the Lancaster show the other day. And, you know, it was nothing for him just to say, well, let's go hop in this airplane. Let's go give it a shot. We've been working on it all day. Let's go. You know,
yeah.
So quite a character.
Wow. Great
quite
guy. And great guy. We'd love to meet him someday. And
yeah, you
lot,
need to. You need
done
to
a lot for that.
Give him a call out there.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, maybe.
Not, but who knows?
Maybe, probably. We'll have a... Seems like the kind of guy that wouldn't mind, but good stuff. You know, is this always? That's one of the things I like about Wix the most is that you can kind of go on there and just, you know, daydream for hours. You guys have set up such a great site there and just so much there, a lot of fun. But I was just perusing the front page today. Of course, I just posted some photographs for Oceana from this weekend. We had a good time out there, and there's some good stuff there that you can take a look at. But the Grissom B-17 restoration, you know, Chris Henry and those guys out there, Rob and Chris, have been just busting their chops to get this thing done. And, you know, last week they made the big announcement that they have the nose art completed on
right.
it. And now they have
sure.
the T-shirts. So, you know, two guys just doing their part to, you know, they saw this aircraft and they said, well, we need to get, you know, somebody needs to do something about that. And they got it underway.
Yeah,
that
and,
just
and
goes
our,
to show
our Wixer, I don't know how you say his name. Django?
No, don't get me lying.
Django. He's okay. The one that painted the him and his dad. I think painted the old 927 on the CF B-24, and he designed their T-shirts. So it's cool art.
Well, I think it's just a great idea. You know, that's
yeah,
all the way around. Yeah. You want to take a call? What do you think?
Sure.
Let's take a call.
Good
evening, caller. You're on Warbird Radio with the Wix Warbird Weekly Show.
Hey, it's Chris. My ears were burning here.
Well, yeah, so, we were just talking about you there.
Colin, how are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. How are you doing, sir? Are you?
I'm doing good, and I can't pronounce Chad's screen name either, so don't feel bad. I have no clue.
Okay.
How
I don't know. Did he ever tell you what that? How do you? To pronounce that, I have no idea. So.
Me neither. No, he needs to call in and let us all know how to pronounce that because I submitted it to the museum and they're like, "What's that mean?" I'm like, "I have no clue." I was like, "That's the artist," but I said, I'm not sure what it means. So, yeah, basically, Chad came up with just an incredible T-shirt design, and that was the one thing we when we first talked, it was we really want the design to stand out. And he did an amazing job on just the nose art and the research and putting together a nice-looking T-shirt for us. And the T-shirts, we're going to try and have them out, hopefully, in maybe like between 2 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. Between two to four weeks, I guess. But if anybody's interested, they can just drop me a line and place an order and kind of pre-order it. But they're going to be $20.
Is that 122.8 that we call you on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's
a
place
order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, of course, I would never do anything like that.
Yeah.
it's definitely, in the purest sense, all the proceeds go to the airplane, and literally the money that we get from these shirts, we are literally taking and buying paint with to repaint the aircraft and address some of the corrosion issues. We're actually going after some corporate funding, which we got word of just the last couple days, and we're in big with that. We're going to try and actually do a building to get the plane inside.
Wow.
And we're also going after a very, very beat up F-86. If anybody's my friend on Facebook, they saw the comical pictures of Rob and I assessing this F-86. It's the typical VFW bird that's been untouched for 30 years. And we just kind of want to clean it up and put it in Gus Grissom's, Gus's markings. And I
saw that on your Facebook page. What's the story on that? It's been out in front of the VFW hall and...
It's in front of VFW in Fort Harrison, Indiana. And it's... She's bad. And, you know, she's...
Tell us how it really is, just, Chris.
it's just, you know, I get, you know, I stand up for the static aircraft a lot. And when I say that, and I always reiterate, I mean the aircraft that are in a building, you know, or the guys that are doing it outside that are they're doing a decent job at it. I give them credit because it's a thankless job. And where I really have learned my lesson is with these aircraft that just nobody's touching. And, you know, there's more and more of them popping up. And this F-86 is an example of that. And it's just nobody's touched it for 30 years, it looks like. And there's corrosion all over the place. And it's just your typical VFW airplane, you know. And so we're trying to, we're trying to work with the Air Force Museum to get it transferred to us. We're in the beginning stages of that. I mean, so that's early on, you know, but it would be a cheap way to get us an F-86. And, you know, immediately it would just be sort of cleaned up for right now. And then hopefully down the road we can get to it, you know, but it would just be sort of cleaned up and put on display with Gus's markings on it. Something that just says Gus Grissom, you know, for the museum, something that he actually flew. So we're trying to research some of that stuff, but our main focus is still on the 17 and getting it inside and I know it's just one airplane out of the whole collection, but we're just, you know, that's sort of our flagship. So we're trying to ensure that comes inside and get some attention. And then, you know, once we get it moved inside, we can move on to other aircraft and
well,
at least
good.
Start that, or at least it's a start.
Well, and but folks, if you...
By all means, anybody needs a T-shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Buy a T-shirt. Yeah, and if you know of another aircraft...
On that F-86 there, Chris, the markings that are on that thing, do anybody know anything about those? Or, you know, are those significant to the airplane, or is it just something the VFW guys threw up on it? Or do you have any idea?
We have no clue. We assume that's somebody local. Rob and I aren't really sure. We're going to try and find that out. And we don't know what to do because we don't want to. We know that no matter what we do, we're going to tick the VFW guys off. I mean, by wanting to take the airplane, obviously they're going to get ticked off. But you know, there's not even like pest control going on. I mean, like we don't have to touch the airplane. There's just hornet's nests everywhere, it's one of those things where you're just like, okay, it for lack of a better term, it's a beautiful VFW. And it's like you almost don't want this ratty F-86 sitting out in front of this VFW, which is very nice. And we don't know if it's somebody's markings that belong to that VFW or local guy is what we were sort of assuming. You know, and we know that when we talk to them, no matter what, they're not going to be happy. They also have a Sherman tank out there, so we're going to see if maybe they'd even trade us for maybe some. We have some ground vehicles in storage that were donated, and we're thinking maybe we can. Maybe trade them. We have duplicate. We have a couple deuce and a half and stuff like that. So we're thinking maybe we can, hey, we'll give you a deuce and a half for the F-86 or something. And I'll be honest, the F-86 is in worse condition than the B-17 by far. It's really sad shape. And in one of the pictures on Facebook, Rob's trying to avoid it falling apart on top of him. And it's pretty rough. And I don't, you know, I mean, you guys know me. I don't really trash an airplane even if it's in rough shape. But this one really is.
Of course, we're talking to Chris Henry tonight. Chris is the guy that runs the Chris Henry Home for Abused and Neglected Aircraft. And if you have one that you'd like to send his way tonight, folks, he's a no-kill
shelter. Any wayward women, we take those too. I appreciate everything that you guys have done on Warbird Radio and Wix continues to help out. We're trying to rebuild the website and make it something that's actually usable. Our website's really antiquated and... I've been running a lot of stuff past Wix, and you guys are just great. I mean, everything that we're getting off there, I figure go to the people that are actually the people that are the diehard nuts that are looking at these websites and aircraft, for example. I mean, everything that we've been doing with this, we've been running through Wix to see what the reaction has been, and to see what you guys think, any input, and, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that you guys look at that maybe we wouldn't have thought of, and you know, we really appreciate it, all you guys. Thank you, and thanks, Matt, for having us on, and to Zane for listening to me ramble, but we really appreciate it, Chris.
That's what's cool about Wix is that it's got there's so many people there that have expertise in all kinds of things. We've got so many airplane geeks on there that take your pick. I mean, it's a truly great resource to have. And
yeah,
we're glad to see you putting some of this effort out there and helping to save an airplane. One airplane's a great thing. Saving more than one, that's truly good stuff, Chris. We appreciate you doing it.
Well, thanks, guys. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate all your help.
Well, hey, Chris, any time, buddy. And we'll keep our eyes peeled for more roadside disasters that need to come your way. Okay?
They should be too hard to find. I'm sure if Rick H. is listening, he's saying I told you so.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
but it's very true. This thing is a wreck. Anyway, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Chris Henry, everyone, from Chris's Home for Abused and Neglected Aircraft. You can find him online there at the Chris Henry Home for Abused and Neglected Aircraft. We got to do that. So we'll have to get him a website. You know, the no kill shelter. No aircraft left behind there. So he's doing a great job, isn't he? I mean, just that guy's got. You know, he's just getting out there and doing it. And
I'm envious of the position he's in. They'll be able to just jump out there with both feet and do something about it.
Yep.
And, there's a lot of us that. I mean, I'm talking heads here sometimes, but
you do what you gotta do, right? He's out there doing it, but man, that's good stuff. Well, I talked to Ryan Knight, and you know, he sounded like he was very, very busy, and I called up and I just said, you know, I left him a voicemail and I said, you know, you can do it, Ryan, and I hope it helped, but I really thought he'd call in tonight, but I guess he really is busy, the poor guy.
Yeah, no telling what he's up against. Slaving away there for Cutter.
Yeah, working hard over there. So that's fine. That's fine. I hope he's doing well. But buddy, if you're listening tonight, we send you our condolences that you're not going to be here, because Don Kennedy, I can already hear him. He's in there hitting the scotch right now. He's going to be here early tonight, Zane. And good Lord, when he gets here, you know it always goes downhill. But
it's all over then. So that's for sure.
So did you make any inroads there at the Lancaster show? We didn't. You and I spoke a little bit about it, and I know they had the Hind and all that kind of stuff. But you got to be gearing up now for the big show there in Dallas. Just what, the 30 something days away now.
Yeah, the big Fort Worth Air Show is coming up. I'm real excited to see that the Blue Angels are going to be here. The Horsemen are going to be here. Ed Shipley and those guys flying their fine P-51s around. You never know what they're going to be flying. I mean, you saw them this weekend.
Yeah, they had the Bearcats. They had two Bearcats and a Corsair this weekend. I got to tell you though. The Blue Angels, this weekend was really great. I haven't said a whole lot about it, but I had the crud. I just felt nasty the whole weekend. But when you're with the Wounded Warrior guys, you can't, you know, you don't want to gripe and moan about, you know, having this nasty crud, you know, because they're standing around with, you know, missing legs and limbs, and you just can't, you know what I mean? You can't have a bad weekend when you're with those guys. You just can't.
Right.
It's just too hard to have a bad weekend, but we were all blown away this weekend. The Blue Angels did a terrific job. I mean, just terrific. The formations, they were right on. I mean, never looked better. And what a show to see. Just amazing.
They're coming to Fort Worth too. They're going to be at the Fort Worth Air Fest, and it's later in the season. I've seen the Blue Angels before, early in the season and late in the season again. And the longer they fly together, the tighter that show gets, and the more amazing it is. If you've seen them the first few weeks of the season, sometimes they're a little loosey goosey, and I never really realized it till I saw them. I don't remember where that was. I saw them someplace early in the season, and then later in the season, I saw them again in a different city, and they were tremendously a better show in tighter formations and stuff. So,
well, I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of air shows, and a lot this year. I mean, a lot this year, and I'm telling you, it was just these guys were right on, and the Horsemen too. They, you know, Ed Shipley and Jim Beasley, those guys just do a Terrific job. And, of course, they were flying the Navy aircraft at the Navy Air Show this last weekend. And it was just a great show. I mean, really incredible.
Isn't it so cool to see the World War II airplanes doing formation aerobatics?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Especially a Corsair.
It just blows my mind to see those guys.
Corsair and the Bearcats really did a great job. And they did a fantastic job. That new music score they have out is really nice to see with the act. So good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the cool thing that really blew me away this weekend was watching the F-22. I'd never seen it. I'd never seen one fly before. They came by Saturday, had some difficulty with it, you know, because it's got, like, more computers than Microsoft in that thing.
And, right. Yeah, I heard they had it broke after the first pass or something. So
yeah. You know what they need? Oh. They need the iRaptor. That's what they need. It would just work, you know. It would just work. I don't know.
And if it doesn't, you just hold two buttons and it reboots.
Yeah, exactly. And it reboots instantly. Yeah, but it would be fast enough. But yeah, so the iRaptor, that's what they need. So Mr. Jobs,
I'm really excited to see that demo come to town. It's never been here to Fort Worth before.
You're gonna freak out when the thing stops. Yeah. I mean, it just stops up there, and it turns around and like on a dime, and it does a tail. I was sitting there, I was just blown away by it, and Chris Baranaskis was sitting in front of me, and he goes, wait, he's sitting there, and he's like, you know, Chris is just Mr. Joe Cool. You know, the guy never, like, he's a class act. I mean, just, you know, one of those, he's just a class act all the way around. Young guy, but just absolutely a class act. And he, like, just sort of casually says, wait till he does the tail slide. And we were all kind of like, what? What? And sure enough, the end of the show, you know, that F-22 pulls up there and just stops and then starts coming back down. I mean, after it's in a hover, a full-on hover, then it just starts coming back down. Amazing. And then he flies away under complete control. We were laughing. A couple of us were standing around there. And we were like, you know what? If we were on the other side, you know, as the enemy there, and we saw that, we'd probably just say, you know what? All right. give up. You can do, you know. I asked somebody, I said, have you seen the F-22s in combat? You know, what do you think of them? He goes, you never see them.
No. That's the tricky part that's the deal. They're built to where you'll never see them.
You never see them.
If you do, you're in deep trouble already. So
it's too late. Too late. One of the one of the wounded warriors that was out there, that this gentleman had lost both of his legs. And he stepped right on top of an anti-tank, I believe it was, IED. Big sucker, you know, big landmine. But he the way that he stepped on it, Zane, he stepped right on the top of it, and it blew him straight up. And he said everything slowed down. And as he was up there, he said, and he was, I think, 21 years old. I've got his bio over here. I have to go get it, but 21 years old. As he was coming back down, he said, I remembered to look at my rifle. He said, I knew both my legs were blown off, but he said, I looked down at my rifle, and he said, my hands were pretty mangled, and I was trying to turn the safety on my rifle. And he said, I got that done. And he said, then I started hollering to the guys. Now, this is as he's in the air, you know, coming back down. I started hollering at the guys to get the tourniquet, and I thought of my family, and I stayed calm. And he's telling me this, and he said, then when I finally hit the ground, he said, I don't remember that much, but he said, I knew enough that I had to stay calm. But he said that within just a matter of moments, by the time that he had already gotten back, that the Air Force was there, and the folks who got him never saw that night. So pretty impressive that the air power is that quick. And you know, it just makes you proud that when you meet these young men and women, that you know, you stop and you think, and everybody kind of dogs on America, but I stand behind her, and I just think it's a terrific thing what these young guys and gals are going up against, and a very noble cause. And
sobering thoughts to talk to these young men, and they are so young, aren't they?
They are, and they're still showing up. You know,
close
and,
your mind.
It really does.
You know, they're doing a heck of a job out there.
I didn't mean to get all Lee Greenwood on you, but my God, I mean, it's just.
Well, hey, you had a moving weekend, you know.
That was terrific.
That's one thing about air shows. Sometimes you meet these people that will stick with you forever, that change your life sometimes.
Well, that's what it's all about.
In small ways that you just can't get them out of your mind, you know.
Can't.
I never forget the guy that when we went with Huey down to an air show in Beaumont, you know, and I may have told you this before, but, you know, this older gentleman walks up and he says, "The last time I sat in a Huey, it saved my life." You know, and he pulled up his shirt and he's got this big scar against his across his gut there, you know, and he says, you know, I lived because of this kind of aircraft. And he sat down on the deck and started crying, you know, and you're just, you know, I'm a 20-something kid at an air show going, whoa, you know, but I'll never forget him, you know. Right. And that's what we do here with Warbirds. I mean, that's the largest reason, I think, is why we're here and why these things are flying and being out there.
Well said.
You're absolutely right.
It's not about the airplanes. It's about the stories of the men and women who kept them in the air and who flew them. That's what it's all about. Sam, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have your calls here on WIX Warbird Weekly Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Matt here from Warbird Radio Live. Our one-year anniversary is coming up October the 5th, and to help make that show extra special, Mr. Gary Velasco from FightingColors.com is giving away a Flying Tigers P-40 nose art panel. To win, just keep listening for the sound of the P-40 starting up. When you hear it, send me an email to info@warbirdradio.com, and you're registered. It's that easy. Thanks for listening, and good luck. Now showing on aerocinema.com.
Sanger Silver Bird was an enormous project which took years of research. Along the way, he had to solve many of the problems of space flight. Sanger knew that putting a vehicle into space was one thing, getting it back was another. The space plane would have required a booster section and 2 miles of rail to get the winged craft into space. It was never completed. June 1944, the first V-1 missile attack on Britain. They were made in a secret place called Peenemünde. Peenemünde is also the birthplace of another weapon many times more ambitious, the A-4 rocket. After numerous failures, two men lead a team of scientists that would eventually put a rocket into space. Also on the drawing board is the multi-stage A9A10, designed to reach America. All the components were coming together just as Germany was falling apart. The spacemen were waiting for a new sponsor. America.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com. And welcome back here to WIX Warbird Weekly Live. Matt with you here, filling in for Ryan Knight, along with Zane Adams. And just hanging out here, having a good time tonight, talking warbirds. And hopefully you can call in and join the fun this evening. The line to dial 478-787-4768. We'll get you on the program here right away, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. So, Zane, what else is going on in your world there?
Well, I was just perusing through Wix here.
My kind of night.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a head cold this weekend and still, you know, had too much NyQuil over the weekend, I think. But anyway, there was an air show this weekend up in Canada that most of us Americans don't think about Canada much. I'm sorry, my Canadian friends up there, but it just seems to, you know, not on our radar sometimes, or our media doesn't promote it, of course. But an air show up in the wings of Vintage Canada, air show up in Gatineau, I think, Ottawa
good
area.
Job. It was yeah, there. Good job.
It was their celebration of the Battle of Britain, and they had Spitfire flying up there. And the Golden Hawks Sabre flying with a T-33, but one of the best formations they had going. They had a flyby of a P-51, a Corsair, P-40, Hurricane, along with the Lancaster up there flying. And they also had a PBY Catalina flying with them as well. So they have really cool formations. There's some pictures on Wix of that. That some really neat stuff up there in Wixer. Dave Hadfield was up there flying the P-40. And said he had a great time.
Yeah,
you know, he flew his rear end off. He says, and then he came home Sunday and slept for 12 hours. So he must have had a really good time. So
yeah, must have. Well, that's a good thing though. You know, it's always That's what you do when you go up there. So you want to have a good time. But good stuff then. You know, I was talking to earlier tonight to a couple of buddies, and I wanted to thank them. And I haven't posted this on Wix yet, but our route of flight for this weekend. But thanks to you for posting up there. Don't get the Get Home Itis on our Facebook page. That was nice of you.
Well, that's all I could do while I was at work today. I was listening in and heard you guys talking about that. And just be safe out there is the key.
Yeah,
I'm
looking forward to it, though. But I talked to Hugh Oldham earlier tonight, and a couple of guys called in tonight. Scott Yoke called in, a couple of them. And, you know, just good stuff. So I wish I had more time that I could kind of, you know, turn this into a little mini tour. That'd be fun and just kind of fly around. But, you know, I guess I should put this on Wix at some point. We're going to do something kind of fun. And supposedly, and I think it'll work, we're gonna track with real time the flight off of this newfangled device that we have on the iPhone. And it's supposed to be able to track the flight, and it's going to update it to the website continually.
Oh cool.
Yeah, so you'll be able to see every time I get off course, or, you know, it should be fun. So,
well, that's great. I guess you've got your route around all the Class A airspace and everything.
And all that good stuff, Class B and C, and all the MOAs. And, you know, it's just it's a cluster. You look at that map, and it's like, well, I need to go. Oh, can't go there. But maybe I'll go. Nope, can't go there. So it's this, like, you know, convoluted kind of, if you look at the flight plan, it's just kind of all over the place, zigzagging around, but getting through it, we'll get through it. So
how many miles do you think it's going to be?
According to my estimation, not that many, actually, 473.
Oh, okay.
I had it sitting right in front of me. I didn't know that offhand, but yeah. So I'm flight planning everything for 70 miles an hour.
Cool.
So, and God willing, we'll get it.
Hey, so, you know, you're sightseeing that way.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's as good as driving, or better.
Somebody was looking at it with me, and they sent me an email, and they said, you know, Matt, you could go under that MOA. They said, or no, how did they word it? They said, you'd have to descend to. That's what they said. They said you'll have to descend to get through that MOA because it was like 1,500 feet. And I thought, if I get to 1,500 feet, I'll be doing well. So,
you have like a 3,000?
Yeah, I've been at like 3,000 feet in that airplane, but that's the highest I've ever been in the airplane. I'm sure it'll go higher, but the previous owner's only been over that once, and that was with me. So it just doesn't go very high, you know. There's no reason to go that high with it. So
I mean, the only problem is it just takes you a long time to get there.
Takes you a long time to get there. That's right. And in order to, so I have to get over 2,900 feet to get over the Air Force Base back in Georgia, and so I'm going to fly out west and get like a 10-mile, you know, running start, and hopefully I can get over that. So that's the plan, at least.
Sure you can. Sure, that'd be fun.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to following you online.
I'm gonna build up a head of steam, and you know, hopefully get over the hump there, as they say. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. But I'm looking forward to it. That is for sure. So good stuff. So
good fun. Yeah, the farthest I've ever been in a light airplane, just tootling, just on a trip. I went from, you know, here Fort Worth to Lubbock, you know, which is 300 and something miles.
Right.
And that was one leg in a 150 out and get gas and came back.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Of course, it's easy because it's well Lubbock's, you know, 3,000 feet, you know, in altitude, so I had to get up that high.
Well,
but coming back was easy because it's all downhill, you know. But
right. Well, you know what I think it's time to do, Zane? I think it's time to crack open the drink here and just sit back and relax here. Don is, he's in somewhere around here. I don't know where he's at. He's bumbling down the hall. I can hear it, but nonetheless, we'll start him with Wix After Hours here, where the lines, as Ryan's supposed to say, between propellers and passion are blurred. So welcome to Wix After Hours this evening. And when you're running the ship, it's It's good to be the king. Just turn it on right there. So, yeah, well, you know, there's just one of those things, one of those weeks, I guess, where it seems like everybody's just been kind of subdued. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's been
yeah.
kind of under the weather and just kind of not feeling all that well. So.
Yeah, there was big buildup to, you know, Oceania.
Yeah, there was. It was good stuff. That was a heck of a party at Oceania. I don't usually talk about that kind of, but I mean, that was a heck of a party that they had on Friday night. Good God almighty.
Yeah.
One of those, it was kind of like, you know, you just kind of walked around and it was like the who's who in there, you know, everybody was in there. Really cool. But, you know, it was a typical, the Navy, I don't know I was trying to think about how to describe this. The culture of the Navy is so much different than anything else. You know what I mean? It's the whole, like, Top Gun thing. It's just that movie really caught it. And you walk in there and they really appreciate the heritage. And there's all these, you know, historic squadron. They had lights made. I'm sure people who know what I'm talking about who have been to the Oak Club there. They know what I mean. They have these giant lights, you know, that are made out of the old squadron emblems. Really cool stuff. And just a fun party. You know, Snort was in there having a good time. Everybody was in there having a good time. Probably 1,000, 1,500 people in there. And just a great time. And they had a band. And it was just really a lot of fun.
Sounds like a heck of a time.
Yeah, it was a heck of a time. I felt a little bit better Friday night. And then somehow made it to bed and still felt bad in the morning. God. And I didn't have hardly anything. I didn't, you know, it wasn't that kind of feeling bad.
Right.
It wasn't. I didn't try and drown the Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't try and drown the Navy that night. But no, it was just one of those nights. You know, you just got to do what you got to do. So, but hey, here's something cool I got to do for the first time. I took stuff down to the hangar. We have chairs. We have a good spot. We're going to try and put in a studio later on. So maybe we can do Wix Warbird Weekly Live from the hangar one night. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
That would be fun.
We'll make it happen. Make it happen there. So.
So you're ready to do some hangar flying. You're getting serious about that.
Getting serious. Time to do it. Time to do it. I want to have a studio out there. That way I can be like, I'm going to the airport. I'm going to go to work for a while. So.
Yeah, and your wife says, sure.
Right. Uh-huh. Sure, buddy. Sure. Sure.
So. Yeah. You know, speaking of air shows, I want to let everybody know. I know we had this big, drama. You know, this big problem I had last week with my decisions to make.
Yeah, the huge decision.
You know, and I want to thank our buddy Rick Harris down in Houston for letting me know that I just needed to get a pair, you know, or grow a pair, as he said. And I'm just trying to let you know Rick know that you know the whole deal is trying to keep a pair, you know. So. But I think I'm going to go to Houston, meet you guys down there in Houston, and
we'll be there.
Hang out with Rick and hang out with Matt, and hopefully Brian will be there. And I know there's a bunch of Wixers that'll be hanging around at the Wings Over Houston Air Show, and I'm really looking forward to that. It'd be good times.
I think there's going to be a bunch of good folks out there. You know, I was talking to the other night was Ryan Short, and Ryan said he's going to try and make it down there from the L-Bird. The liaison squadrons. That'd be kind of fun. There'd be a lot of folks down there. And
I met Ryan Short last year at Wings Over Houston.
Right.
He was hanging out there at the veterans tent, and he's a super guy. So I'm really looking forward to meeting some of those veterans they've got coming down there.
We'll be right there in the tent with them the whole weekend.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. We'll get them on the radio and take you with us if we can't make it. So. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's so cool to hang out with those guys. It's that's where it's at, man. They are the men.
I'll tell you,
and women.
Yeah, I could tell you the story, but I'd have to tell it offline. But from our Reading adventure, I think you probably have heard it. But with hanging out there with they were Babe and Bill were having the band of brothers they were having lunch, and some other reenactors walked by, and there was quite the candid conversation that ensued. And let's just say there were mothers hiding their ears, you know, and the ears of children, and it was quite colorful, but a good story nonetheless. One I'll never forget.
So. Yeah, the salty dogs are good fun to hang around sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff, and just great times. But yeah, you're absolutely right. So we'll have them on hopefully, and I know Dick Cole's going to be there, and Boots Blessé will be there. Who else is going to be? Bud Anderson, as you mentioned. And who knows who else will show up. So, good stuff.
Last year, there was a couple of Pearl Harbor survivors in there in the tent, and they're always happy to tell you. You can ask them, hey, well, where were you that Sunday? And they'll just come alive.
Right.
And they are cool to talk to, that's for sure. They were quite animated and quite excited to be there, some of these guys. You know, I think some of these guys a lot of them don't, you know, Bud Anderson's and Dick Cole been in the spotlight a little bit and been around this kind of stuff, but some of these guys have never really been in this situation before, I think, or not very often, and they seem really grateful to have somebody to actually talk to them and want to know what they've been through and be with them. It's really cool to see. If I wish it more air shows would do this. It's a great idea to have.
I think it's the best idea around, and I think they do a great job there at Wings Over Houston. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm just that's going to be a fun show, Zane. It really is going to be a great time. And, of course, we'll have you on the radio, too. So it'll be fun to have a good time out there. It'll be a lot of good stuff going on. And so Rick is getting ready for everything. Huh? He's
Rick is. He doesn't know exactly what they're going to be flying with the Collings Foundation jets. Last year they flew the A-4, and they may be flying that again. I don't know if is not quite worked out yet, but looking forward to seeing them. They'll definitely have their stuff out on the ramp there. Of course, it'll be big. It's a big CAF show, and I think Wings Over Lone Star Flight Museum out of Galveston usually shows up with a bunch of stuff. Last year there was some of the secret stuff from South Texas secret airplanes showed up, and there's this little silver Bearcat and some other things there that came in. So they're good fun to see, and I think Glacier Girl may be there again, and it's a tremendous air show. I think it's one of the best in this part of the country, if not the whole country, all year. So
I agree with you. It's a great show.
Thunderbirds will be there for sure. So, and Heritage Flights, and Coast Guard, all kinds of fun.
You know, the other thing too that you can do down there that you can't do at a lot of the different shows is you can actually go for a ride on your choice of B-17. You can take either Texas Raiders, or you can take Thunderbird, and I think you can also get a ride in old 927, the B-24. So good stuff.
They've got a bunch of. I think the Helldiver is going to be there. There'll be rides in the Helldiver. The CAF's P-51 gunfighter, special delivery, Lone Star Flight Museum B-25. There'll be a T-6 there. That's what they've got plans for rides. You can ride in any one of those. Yeah. You know, that's.
And you
four
don't
bombers.
See that. Yeah, right. You don't see that a lot, though. And so,
yeah. And a hell diver. Are you kidding me?
And a hell diver. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Going to be a good time. And, of course, on the civilian side of things, Sean Tucker will be there with Team Oracle, Julie Clark, and Debbie Wren, John Klatt, Smoke and Thunder Jet Show, and then the firepower demo from Korea, Vietnam with the Huey that you were talking about.
Yeah, and last year they had two Hueys whipping around, the A-4 Sky Raider, the spooky gunship, and our friend Karen and her O-2 will be buzzing around as well. So, yeah, it's they put on a heck of a show. They had lots of they had a bunch of tanks and APCs and jeeps and stuff running around out there as well.
And good stuff.
The reenactors, pretty girls in nurses' uniforms. It's good fun.
And of course, Glacier Girl will be there as well as Tora. And just all around good times. Come out and hang out at Wings Over Houston there. Well, Zane, have we beat this horse into submission? I think the dead horse is really just dying off tonight. But fun times though.
I think he's gone to the barn at least.
Yeah. I think he's already kind of gone out as you've said, and he's headed to the barn. So why don't you and I head to the barn? It's so much fun with Ryan here when I can just sit back and not do much, but.
Anyway. Well, I appreciate you coming on and filling in for Ryan tonight. And,
yeah, well, that's fine. A lot of people.
I don't know if I could swing this whole thing by myself, so I appreciate you being here.
Ah, you got big arms, Zane. You could do it. You could do it next time. Yeah, we did have a couple of emails, and we'll get to those. And our thanks to you for being here tonight for the Wix Weekly Show. Thanks to Chris for calling in tonight. And phone lines are open, guys. Anytime you want to call in, just pick up the phone and dial in. Have a good time, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. A lot of you listening, though. A lot of you who sit back and just kind of listen and lurk. And that's fine. We know you're out there. We know you're hanging out, having fun, and that's what it's all about. So,
yeah, we know who you are.
Yeah, we know who you are. But, seriously, a lot of folks tuning in tonight, so that's good. But, fun times, Zane. Do it again next week. How about that? I should be back. I hope I'm back.
You'll be back.
As long as the weather. We're supposed to have some rain showers, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. You've got a canvas airplane. It's okay.
Yeah. I just ring it out every once in a while. There you go. All right. Good night, Zane. And good night, John. Yep. Ryan, Matt, whoever. Yeah. All right, Zane. Good night, John, boy. There you go.
Good night, John.
All right. Folks, you can find Wick's Warbird Weekly Live available on the podcast immediately following this broadcast. Continue the conversation, though, right now on the Warbird Information Exchange. Good night.